Okay, hi. My name is Dove, and this call from here on, as you hear the announcement, it's being recorded. If you come on, then you'll hear the announcement will say this call is being recorded. So there's no way to be on this call without knowing that it's being recorded. So if you come on and you don't hear an announcement, that means it's not being recorded. I'm powerless over lust, and my life is not manageable by me. There was a request today from a good man who's on the call, and this call is open for men and women also, of course, too. There's no age specifically or gender specifically for this call. The person asked to talk about relationships and how it affects relationships. So how looking at sports, for example, and being involved in these things, which is all the person really said, affects the relationship negatively. This is a very broad topic. And I want to start with the tefillah, Elohai. God, let me be a mouthpiece for you. Let me say what you want and be helpful. There's a reason that people ask these questions. Some people ask this question for one reason. Some people ask this question for another reason. It's a great question. Some people ask the question because they're trying to convince other people not to use schmutz. Okay? In other words, some people ask this question because their intention is, you know, me, I don't have this problem so badly, but other people do, and I'm trying to save other people from averus and from making mistakes and all that. Excuse me a second. Sweetheart, can you just make sure not to shut the front door? Thanks. Okay, so we have a cleaning lady in the house today, and I didn't want my wife to shut the front door because of Yichud, because my wife's leaving soon. I like being open about these things so that people, you know, just so that I'm an open person instead of a closed person. Guard Your Eyes is a place for such closedness, but Baruch Hashem, it's a step in the right direction toward becoming more open. It doesn't have the water that you need, but it's definitely bringing you to the water trough. It's definitely a start. Because you can't be open in an open forum where anybody can, you know, can hear you, even people who are not interested in recovery. Anyhow, so relationships. There are a lot of people who are teetotalers. They're crusaders against porn use and masturbation use, lust, etc., and either because they're from, so they want the world, you know, to be good, they want people to be good, or just because they are good people, and, or you know, they want to be good people, so they figure how else is a better way to be a good person than to prevent other people from sinning, you know, so, you know, or for other reasons, you know, whatever it is. They want to try to stop other people from doing wrong, so they want this topic to be spoken about. Look how damaging it is to your marriage and your relationship that you look at porn and sex and schmutz. Ugh, look how damaging it is. You need to tell the tzibur so that they don't do it. So there are two issues with this. One is it doesn't really help the tzibur because the tzibur doesn't really care. Sexuality is something so private, so hidden, so shameful. When a boy goes, when a yeshiva boy who's the best guy in yeshiva, and everybody thinks he's the best, the way he davens, the way he learns, the way this, and he's in the bathroom quickly masturbating himself. And then he comes, and then he's like, he feels all mamish, it's a tumult inside. It's a tremendous tumult, chaos inside of like, what am I going to do? It's like, oh. He's not afraid of Malachim busting his eyes out for looking at porn. That's not the issue. The issue is that he knows he's a fake, and it's driving him crazy. And, you know, so such a situation is very painful. It's painful, very painful. And all the talk about don't do it, don't do it, don't do it is not going to help the guy to not do it. Because he already knows he shouldn't do it because he's hiding it like crazy. It's not like just going to the bathroom where you hide it because you don't go to the bathroom in front of everybody, but you flush the toilet even though they know that you're flushing the toilet. They hear you, they know you went to the bathroom, so you're not hiding that. But this, you hide, 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 hide. And sexuality in general is something very private. In Yiddishkeit, we have tzinius by sexuality to an incredible degree because, not because otherwise it'll lead people to sin. That's one reason. The other reason is because it's precious and it's private. Things that are precious are kept private. And that's half of the reason why you and me, when we're looking at pornography, sneaking looks, stealing looks at women, men, whatever it is that you do, and pornography and masturbating ourselves and doing all these things, when we do these things, we hide, hide, hide. Matznia, tznias, 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 mamish. It's a haster shebehester. We hide, and we hide the fact that we're hiding it. Why? Because the shame, true. Also, though, it's to keep it protected. Tremendous amount of it is to keep it protected. Because if the wife finds out exactly what I'm doing, I'm in big trouble because I won't have free access to this stuff anymore. It's going to be gehaktetzuras to get my hands on the schmutz whenever I want because she's going to take away my phone. She's going to make a secret number on my thing that she has. I won't be able to get on the internet so easy and this and that. And vakama excuses about why that's so bad. My business will suffer and here it will suffer and that and the shiur I listen to and the daf yomi, blah, blah, blah. But the real reason is because it's going to jeopardize my access to this sweet thing that I love. And if you're a chronic pornography user, and if you're a frum guy or gal, and you're a chronic pornography user, and, you know, lust user, whether it's with sex with other people or sex with yourself, which is masturbating yourself, that's sex with yourself, api halacha and api hashkafa, and practically speaking. There are marmakomas about that, by the way, which we can talk about one day, but if you want. But the masturbating sex with yourself, if you're engaging, if when I engage in these things, then what happens is there are forces here that are so strong, forces of shame, forces of desire, forces of need that I feel inside I'm going to die without it. It's precious to me. That's why I do it. You find yourself always losing your temper at somebody for doing something wrong. That means it's not, oh, I have a milchemes hayetzer and I have to read Erech HaPayim and I have to do this and I have to do that because I hate this. You don't hate it. You know you must stop because it's dysfunctional and it messes you up. It ruins your relationships. It ruins your mood. It destroys your serenity. It's killing you. But guess what? You love it. That's why you keep doing it. As all the Sfarim say that talk about Ahava, a sign of Ahava is that you return to this thing over and over again. That's the clearest sign of Ahava. I can't be separated from you for 1 minute when the opportunity to have you, resentment, the you is resentment, the you is criticizing others, the you is whatever. If the opportunity, porn, schmutz, if the opportunity presents itself for me to have it, and every time the opportunity presents itself, it's like a giant milchemes hayetzer not to partake. Oh, it's because it's so precious to you that you love it in such a deep way that, and then you hide it, but mainly because to protect it, so that you'll continue to have access to it. If that's the situation that you're in, so then guess what? saying that you hate it, and it's, oh, farshteitzach is terrible for me, and you're braying up a chimney. You're spitting into the wind, you know? Don't do that, because it's a lie. It's not going to help you. It furthers your and my denial over what's going on here. This isn't putting yourself down. Your behavior is putting yourself down. When I act out, my behavior is putting myself down. Admitting it isn't putting myself down. Facing the truth about it isn't putting myself down. The fact that I'm doing it is putting myself down. If I want to help my self-image, then don't do it. Good luck. If I keep on doing it, it's because on some level, I surely, surely love it. So then that having been said, the question now becomes, is talking about it to people and explaining to them why they shouldn't do it going to have any positive effect? Not if they're already doing it. You know? If you're already doing it, then it's not going to have any positive effect. Talking about the evils of the internet, the evils of pornography, the evils of masturbating yourself, etc., and lusting. You know, if you're already engaged in it in a habitual way because, like I explained a minute ago, you love it so much, and that's who I am, you know. So then if it's so precious to you that you keep returning to it, as the Sfarim say, that's a sign, that's the prime sign of Ahava. The Rambam says that you can't get it out of your mind. It's a, like Rambam compares love of Hashem, the way Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zichrono Lebracha, used to explain it, especially, it's like you're in love with a woman and you can't get her out of your mind. The point wasn't that it's a woman, it's lust. The point is that it's something you can't get out of your mind. If you hear that she's coming to town, you're like, oh, we have to get together, we have to talk, I have to see you, you know? It's precious to me. Any opportunity to get it, I'm going to take advantage of. Of course, for states, why not? But it's not a moral decision. It's a perceived need. It's because I love it so much. It's precious to me. So then talking about not do it, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it, it's bad for you in this way, it's bad for you in that way, with the forces that we're referring to over here are so strong that talking about it is not going to do any good if you're already doing it. And this call is not made, obviously, for people who, you know, I heard that there's such a thing as schmutz. I'm not quite sure what it is. I mean, I know I take off my clothes in the bathroom when I go for a shower, but I'm not quite sure, like, there's such a thing as people naked? What, with, don't they have any shame? I heard there's a problem. Is this true? Maybe I should listen to this call and should, you know, is that safe for me to enjoy, you know, to check it out? So they call on this call. That's not why you're here. That's not why probably anybody who's listening to this recording or to this call today is doing this, because you're on a high, you know? Probably you're in trouble of some sort and you're looking for help. So no, talking about how damaging it is to you, I don't think it's going to help you stop. I think that suffering is going to help you stop, just like suffering helped me stop hundreds of times. I stopped hundreds of times. When it comes to stopping, I'm an expert at stopping, you know, because I'm an addict. So I'm an expert at stopping. But I'm not an expert on living without it. As Sandy B., one of the great AA speakers who just passed away a few years ago, used to say, drinking is not our, as alcoholics, drinking is not our problem. Our problem is sobriety. Our problem is living without drinking. That's our problem. We can stop drinking just as we're experts at stopping drinking. It's like going to a therapist about marriage, and he says, well, I'm an expert on marriage because I've been married 8 times, you know? So, well, okay, I don't know if that makes you an expert on marriage. I think it makes you an expert on divorce, probably. Okay, whatever. I'm an expert on quitting. Guard Your Eyes is infested with people like me who but that's the bracha of Guard Your Eyes, so it's not an infestation. That's exactly who Guard Your Eyes wants. We as Guard Your Eyes people, we love that. But like I said at the very beginning of the call, this is often It's not going to save you, guard your eyes, but if you're an addict, it's not going to save you because you're still in almost complete isolation, calling yourself Gingerbread Man and Chuba 613. You're in basically still in complete isolation. Well, it's now incomplete isolation. You're in incomplete isolation, so it's not going to help you. But it's a step in the right direction. Finally, you're, you know, associating at least with some people who are actually clean. So anyhow, but usually the people who really get clean leave Guard Your Eyes pretty quickly because they realize the answer isn't here. This is just a nice clearinghouse for people to find answers. But once you find the answers, most people who get clean, you know, because they find good therapy or 12 steps associations, you know, or, you know, whatever, most people who do that leave Guard Your Eyes. There's only a few who stick around for whatever reason. So, and it's not because Guard Your Eyes is saving them. It's because they're benefiting from the Chevershaft or this or that. But as far as staying sober, as far as the answer for them, even most of them would admit that it's hard for me to prove that it's Davka, my Guard Your Eyes connection, that's keeping me sober and providing me with the answers that I need to live without my drug. Because like I said, sobriety is our problem, not sexually acting out. Sobriety is the problem. You can't stay sober. If you're an addict, it's impossible. If I'm an addict, it's impossible for me to stay sober. I am sober, thank God, one day at a time. That's why I believe it's a miracle. And it's the condition is that I maintain my spiritual condition, which doesn't mean that I shuckle harder and this and that. It means very simple concepts of the 12 steps. Very simple concepts of the 12 steps that any farmhand in the middle of Minnesota can do just as well as any Rosh Yeshiva and any big kolel guy and any Rav and any big mechanech who's in Sexaholics Anonymous because he's a pervert like me can do. All of us can do these 12 steps just like any shagetz, any shiksa anywhere can do these same things. This is not for geniuses. And if you're a firm guy, nice Siddush Yid, a nice yeshiva boy, and you're married and this and that, and you're still doing this stuff, then obviously religion has not saved you. In fact, religion is part of your problem. Not to say that you need to change your religion and become a Buddhist or something. That's not what I'm saying. But the religion, when you get sober, will start to help you if you're doing it right. But certainly until now, you have made your religion part of your problem. And I talked about that in other calls. If you're afraid of broaching that topic because it sounds like you're going to become less religious as a result, so then fear not, because you don't have to be. That's a choice you're going to have to make. But last time I checked, the mitzvahs are schar v'onesh because of bechira, right? So Hashem wants you to choose. So I don't think you should be afraid of bechira. I shouldn't be afraid of bechira. So, you know, the Rambam says that the only thing that affects tzchar is a wish that I never did it, is an unwillingness that, you know, ugh, I was wasting my time doing these things. So I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen is the narishkeit's going to have to go. And believe me, if you're a frum guy or a frum lady and you're in sex and masturbation and porn for, you know, for years and it's habitual and continuous, and you're fighting and losing and winning and losing, and then you're clean, and then you're sober, and then you're clean, and then you're acting out back and forth, and this is how you're going for years and years, clearly your frumkeit is feeding into it. It's not helping it, it's feeding into it. But that's a topic for another, that's really another topic, I'm sorry. So talking about this thing about how damaging the schmutz is to the relationships is not going to convince people not to do it. Who are already doing it. That's a given. What's the purpose of explaining then the answer or saying an answer to this guy's good question about show me the damage that it does to the relationships, you know? Specifically the marriage relationship is what he was referring to. What's the benefit of doing that? Because I believe the benefit of doing that is because it helps me see how important it is for me to stick with recovery, one, Two, it makes it important for me to recognize when things are messed up that that's not because I'm a bad guy. It's because I'm sick. It's part of my disease. Three, that I can take responsibility for these things. That's the entire point of 12 steps culture is 100% in Eina Nili Mili, 100% self-responsibility. The people who get involved with Guard Your Eyes and hear, oh, it's an addiction and you're powerless. Oh, great. You know, powerless, that means it's not my fault. And that means I'm not even really responsible for anything. That means it's not an avera. It's like, no, no, and no. That's not what powerless means, and that's not what 12 steps is about. And that's not true. So, but then what's the point of it all? Oh, the point of it all is that you want to be absolved from all guilt whatsoever and all responsibility. That's the whole point of the 12 steps. Well, no. Okay, look, get sober first. Use the 12 steps to get sober. If you believe in the 12 steps so much, like Rabbi Nachman would say, you know, if you believe in it so much that it can do all this destruction, so then believe that it can also fix you. And first work on the fixing. And then you'll look back and you'll see, am I responsible? Am I going to go to hell? Am I not going to go to hell? Deal with those things after you get clean. Okay? Join us. Join us and get clean too. You know, and then you'll worry about all the, well, what about what I did, and what about, how do I misaken, and Shuva Gemura, and Tikkun here, and Tikkun aher. You know, worry about that after you're sober a few years. Because until then, anyway, it's a waste of time to think about it. So fine. So those are some of the reasons why it's a benefit to know, to me, why it could be a benefit to know, what damage this stuff is doing in the marriage and relationships, okay? Not as a warning to prevent you from doing it. Another thing is, on the other hand, though, for a person who is in recovery, it's nice to remember that before I look at schmutz or before I follow a girl around a supermarket or to get another look at her sweetness or this or that, before I go ahead and do something stupid like that, or look at some porn, or look up an ad and look at how undressed they are and this and that, before I go ahead and make that kind of a mistake, make that kind of a choice, as an addict, it's a choice, before I do that stuff, I can think to myself, you know what? Number one, I might lose my sobriety by doing this, because I'm powerless over lust, meaning when I use lust, I'm not like a normal person who can use lust like a non-alcoholic can use liquor and get away with it. You know, it'll be okay, so it's fine, good, what's the big deal? You know, that's not the way it is with me with lust. I'm like an alcoholic is to alcohol. When I use it, it ends up messing me up in a lot of ways. And one of the ways that it messes me up is this way, that it destroys my marriage relationship. So it'll help a person who's already working a program, not just a guy who's whatever, it's looking for another thing to be guilty about. That's not going to help you in the end. In the end, the guilt's going to eat you up alive, and you're going to have to act out in the end probably to make yourself feel better, because that's the thing that you really, really want, to feel better, right? So that's why we act out. We want to feel better, you know? So unless a person's surrendered and they're working in a real program of some kind or real therapy or something, then you're really looking just for comfort. So these things are going to be excuses why not to do it. Oh, it's like sour grapes, really, then. You know, oh, I shouldn't look because then it'll ruin my marriage. It's like, you know, in other words, I'd love to have it. It's just that I can't have it anyway because it's probably sour. It's mamish sour grapes. That's not going to help you in the end. But if you're working a program, so then, yeah, it helps to know all the bad repercussions of things that I do, because it means that that's my responsibility. If I go ahead and engage in this thing, then I'm doing this. I'm choosing this over, I'm choosing a wrecked relationship over a good relationship. We don't have a good relationship yet. My wife and I have a horrible relationship. We're fighting all the time. This, that, the sex is no good. That's no good. The other thing's no good. She's fat. You know, whatever. She's too skinny. She's this. She's that. You hardly ever hear that complaint from guys. But anyway, so then, sorry. So then, but guess what? If I look at schmutz and I act out and I get into this porn and this and that, So then guess what? It's certainly not going to help the relationship. It's going to make it worse. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we have a saying, they have a saying that I came to see in recovery that there's no situation in life that's so bad that drinking won't make it even worse. Understanding that and accepting that inside us is a threshold. That's a real threshold. You go through that, you're in another world, you know? It's a good thing. But anyhow, so now, getting back to the question, if there's a tachlis for this stuff, knowing the damage that it causes, I'll explain to you exactly what the damage is as far as I can see it in my own life. Chazal tell us very nicely, and I've brought this up at least three times on this call in different days. Chazal bring, kolanosin eino b'masha eino shalo, anybody who puts his eye on something that's not his. In other words, when you look at something with lust and wish that it's yours, ein nosnin lo, he doesn't end up getting it because it's not his. The af masha yesh lo, and even the things that he has, notilin heimenu, they take away from him. Let me just put that in one sentence, okay? Chazal tell us that that anyone, kol hanosen eino b'masha eino shelo, anyone who puts his eye on things that are not his will lose what you've got. Is that a punishment? Is it mida keneged mida? Why doesn't it say Hashem takes away what he's got? It doesn't say that. It says notalin, they take away mimenu. Why? Why doesn't it say Hashem takes it away from him? He's a punisher, isn't he? He's going to kill you and before 50, and at 60, 70, he's going to kill your children too for your masturbating, right? So then he's going to kill you, your children, this, that. He's going to take away your wife and here and there. He's going to take, it's a punishment. No, no, it's not. It's not a punishment. When it says no to lin, it's plural. God isn't plural. No to lin isn't referring to God. No to lin is referring to the forces of nature. It's plural. It's forces of nature. This isn't like Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Betrunya and Briosov. You know? It doesn't say Klapi Shemayim, blah, blah, blah. You know? It doesn't say Bezdin Shalmala. No, 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 no. It says no to lin. They take away from him. That means the forces of nature, meaning it's a natural consequence. This is not Judaism. This is just nature. Chazal is just Eitz HaTova Kamash Malan. They're telling us, hey, buddy, if you look at porn, you masturbate yourself, which is always looking at porn, right? Even if you're not looking at porn, even if you never looked at porn, when you're masturbating yourself, you're fantasizing in your head in the act of doing it. And even if you're using your wife in the fantasy that you're doing when you're masturbating yourself, it's still porn because it's not really your wife because she's not really there. And it's really not sex with your wife. It's not a relationship with your wife that you're having. You're not doing anything for her here at all. And the sensation of it is not anything you're sharing or anything between the two of you. It's pure, unadulterated is a funny word to use, pure, unadulterated, self-serving, self-pleasuring, using a scenario that doesn't exactly exist. It's not exactly the true relationship. It's not the true sex that you two are having. It's fantasy sex. So, Mamela, is that going to be better or worse than what you really have? It's going to be better. It's going to be better than what you really have. That's for sure. Because it always is. These women are made out of silicone mostly, you know? There's no way your wife's going to compete with them. The way that they act, what they say in the act, how they behave, their positions, they're here, they're there, their attitude toward the whole thing. Yeah, go ahead, you know, no, no, no. That's not real life. No real woman wants to be, you know, pretend that you're doing this to me, that to me, this and that. That's not reality. So in other words, that's lust. So there's no such thing as masturbating yourself without fantasy and basically internal mental porn going on, being used. There's no such thing, okay? So, I mean, I don't believe there is such a thing. If you do, that's great. Enjoy yourself. you know, believing that. I'm not saying to masturbate yourself. I'm just saying, you know, don't, you know, so then, you know, be happy that there is such a thing, you know, in the universe. But if it comforts you, so then I don't know what to say, except I just can't understand that. Are you serious? You know? So, yeah. If you're masturbating yourself, you're fantasizing, you're using porn, you're going to take away your appreciation for your wife, because there's no way she can compete with that. There's no way that your wife, even no matter who she is, even a fantasy wife, you can't really have that. What you're doing is you're pouring cold water on your sex with your wife. You're pouring cold water on your appreciation of your wife, even in an emotional way, not even in a physical way. Even for the emotional relationship, she becomes a turnoff, because now that I followed this girl around in the supermarket and she's so pretty and she acts so happy, well, my wife isn't that happy. My wife isn't that pretty. She doesn't give me the same feeling when I walk into the house and she's got chicken all over her hands, working over the kitchen making Shabbos. She doesn't give me that feeling. It's kind of, ugh, you know. And then I want to cuddle with her, and she says, excuse me, I'm in the middle of making the chicken now. And it's like, well, I primed myself up to have this, and that life is like that, and sex is like this, and my wife should be like this, and then, you know. And then guess what? She's not like that. Why does that fire get going only to get put out? Because of my fantasizing. It causes me to have less happiness, guaranteed less happiness with what I've got. That's the point over here that I'm trying to make. That's one answer to this man's... Well, whoever you are, you're not on mute, Faber. Khabar, whoever you are, you're not on mute. Hello? Khabar. Okay, hang on a second, folks. For the benefit of the call. I just hit the master mute. You can unmute yourself if you want to talk on the call by hitting *6. Okay? I think. And please do if you want to comment. So, the reason that I hit *6, *5 just now to mute everybody is because someone on the call is not muted and they're in conversation with somebody else, and it's coming out on the call. So I'm letting you know that in case you're listening, so that you can either mute your phone or do something so that when I reverse the mute eventually soon, before the call's over, I want to open up the call a little more, last few minutes. When I do that, I want people to have the opportunity to be able to talk. So please, next time, either mute your phone when you're on the call or do something to help us out, Father. Thank you. Thank you very much. So the partaking of things that are not mine is guaranteed to water down the pleasure that I have with stuff that is mine. And certainly porn and schmutz does that.
This was in Bochum, praise.
Excuse me, you talking to me?
Hello, Moshe.
I don't understand what's going on here. Let me try to hit *5 again, because whoever that is just doesn't understand. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Eventually, whoever's on the phone just now, who I hit the master mute for, he didn't mute himself, and he unmuted himself by hitting *6, and then he kept talking, so... You don't know how to mute your phone, obviously, because, I mean, I know you're a good guy and you don't want to disturb the call. So let me return to the topic, Zoshem. So the point I'm trying to make is made already. Next, the other thing that a person does in their relationship when they look at schmutz and pornography is dependent on the answer to this question. Do you look at schmutz and pornography and masturbate yourself? And you're asking, this is a specifically question asked specifically for relationships, marriage relationships, married relationships specifically. So I ask you a question: does your wife or your husband, if you know your lady, does your spouse know about all these things that you're doing? No, of course she doesn't know. I mean, Gavalt, that would be terrible because she would be upset. It would hurt her. Okay, you're ashamed. That's why it would be terrible. Let's get that straight first. The reason you're not telling her is because you're ashamed. The excuse of it would damage the marriage, maybe it's true it would damage the marriage, but guess what my wife taught me? My wife taught me that, Dove, you damaged the marriage when you did this stuff, not when I found out about it. Try telling that to a Gemara cup. Try telling that to a Gemara cup. The Gemara cup won't believe it's true. The Gemara cup will say, no, acting out is only the Hechatimtza. Telling you is the Chalos. Excuse me. And I'm not making a joke. I'm serious. In the mind of a person who's acting out and who's been hiding it for 15, 20 years, 10 years, 2 years, 50 years from their husband or wife, in the mind of this person like me, this is the way we think. Avada, I mean, versteitzach, I can't tell because of all these good reasons. The only real reason I cannot tell is because of me and what it'll do to me. As a result of me telling her, she won't want to talk to me. She won't want to associate with me. That's not for the marriage. That's for me. She won't want to have sex with me. Of course, for Shteitzach, she's going to be so turned off at me, so upset with me, so ashamed of my lowness and how I tricked her and played her for a fool. Oh, hi, sweetheart. I'm home. I came a little bit late. I'm so sorry. Oh, it's okay, dear. I know you work so hard. Okay, what's for dinner? You know? That's what happens all the time. So how was yeshiva today? Oh, it was wonderful. We had a great chavrusa. You know, Ari had a baby and his wife. Yeah, really? Oh, we'll call him a mazel tov. The guy was just masturbating in his car, driving around town with his pants around his ankles. And here he's, it's a good thing I'm not telling her because it's shalom bias, you know? And I'm not telling that you should be telling your husband or your wife about what you're doing right now. That's an entirely different discussion, and every situation is a little bit different. But the fact that you're hiding and lying and faking, and you're a professional, and I'm this way, when I act out, this is how I am. When I act out, this is how I am. When I, no matter how good and heilig and wonderful I learn and great mitzvahs I do, and this and that, it doesn't have any bearing on the fact that when I'm acting out, as long as I'm still an acting out person, I am a fake. My ikar problem is not lust. It's not the yetzer hara. It's not lust. It's not the sinning. It's not the avera. It's not even the desire. It's like with an alcoholic, it's not the alcohol isn't really the problem. What's the problem in a luster in a marriage and he's having sex with other people or with himself in a fantasy thing with some fantasy woman? What's the problem? The problem is that he's a fake. She thinks he's one man. He's another man. He's someone else than she thinks he is. And it's in things that if she knew, she might even kill herself. If she knew, she wouldn't be behaving to you like you are. That's the ikar of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das, the ikar of Geneva's Das is not just tricking someone, but tricking someone who's treating you a certain way because they think one thing about you where the truth is something else and going weiter in that lie in order to get from them, when if they knew what you were, who you are, and what you have done, then they wouldn't be treating you this way and giving you these things that they're giving you. And all the time in come to the mind, well, if I tell her she will be divorced, if I tell her she won't have sex with me, if I tell her then I'll come to even greater averus, if I tell her this, if I tell her that, if I tell her the other thing. Like, I'm not saying to tell your spouse. That's an entirely different discussion, and every situation is a little bit different. But the fact that you're not telling your spouse defines you as a liar and a fake. And that, if Lu Yitzuyer they knew, you would act, you would possibly not act out at all. You wouldn't be able to. And most likely, eventually you would again. Because I got caught by my wife in 90, you know, I got caught by my wife 2 years before I got sober, almost 2 years before I got sober. It didn't stop me. And I really got caught. And that didn't bring me into recovery. Okay, so getting caught by your spouse is not going to guarantee you, if I get caught, first aid service, I'm going to stop. You're probably not. You'll probably stop one behavior but continue another. You'll probably stop this but figure out how to make it hidden more, because whatever she doesn't know won't hurt her, right? And Mishanim Ibn HaShalom is mamish, one of the big commandments, isn't it? Look, the others did it. You know, you have to be Mishanim Ibn HaShalom. You know, new forth, I love my wife, I wouldn't want to hurt her, and tell her the truth. You know, when she finds out, she's going to, you know, after the life is over and she finds out, she's going to want to not just kill you, but kill herself. I lived an entire life that was a lie. And you say, what lie? I wasn't good to you. I didn't do mitzvahs. I wasn't a rebbe. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. Oh, I still was. And she'll be crying through her tears, telling you what kind of a fake, stupid idiot you are, and that you weren't those things, because you never lived your life in an honest way, so nothing you did was true from her perspective. Nothing. Is God going to agree with her, or is God going to agree with you? I don't know. My wife taught me that the time that I hurt the marriage was when I acted out, not when she found out. And I'm not telling to tell your spouse. I'm telling you that every situation is a little different. You should get good counsel and help before you do that. But if you're acting out and you're never going to stop and you're not going to get help for it, you're better off telling your wife than living through the rest of your life faking, okay? If you're never going to stop because you're never going to get any help, you might as well tell her now. Before she catches you in another 20 years when you're a Zadie and your 12-year-old granddaughter walks into the room while you're masturbating in front of a computer, and then you have to say, oh, Zadie has a terrible itch. I'm sorry, Hanala. Quickly get, you know, whatever. And that's going to happen, because it is going to happen eventually. And it does happen. Meisim b'chol yom. You're not James Bond. You're going to get caught. You will get caught. So better tell her now than get caught later. Again, if you're going to do recovery, if you're going to get real therapy, so then no. I would never say tell her now, or tell him, your husband, if you're a woman. I would never say tell your spouse now. I would say, well, if you're going to get into recovery and you're going to get good counsel and therapy, so then get your good counsel and therapy and into recovery now. And then figure out whether what you have to say and when you have to say and what you have to do and what you don't have to do. Do that now. Then think about sharing it with your spouse later. Because you know what? A lot of guys on Guard Your Eyes I've met who have told no one, not even their Rav, they can't admit it to anybody. Who do they admit it to? I told my wife. Oh, Chatzadik. He told his wife. And he won't tell anyone else. And with me on the phone, he'll call him. He said, so what's your name? Silence. He's calling from private number. What's your name? Silence. Do I have to tell you? I'm not comfortable, you know, telling you, really. I'm just, is that necessary, really? I mean, is your real name Dove? I mean, come on, you know? So, okay, well. No, it's not necessary. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to call me. You don't have to do it. I'm not going to hang up on you because you don't tell me your name. I'm not collecting people's names for the FBI or anything. I don't have to know for myself, for my health. But you're not honest with your wife. Oh, but I told my wife everything. Oh, okay. Did you tell anyone else? No, for states, I'm important in the community. I'm a big Askan, and I can't tell even a therapist. It's a tremendous Chilul Hashem, and a goy wouldn't understand anyway, and I certainly can't tell a yid. So what am I going to do? You know, so I told my wife, isn't that the hardest one to tell? The wife? Isn't that the hardest one? I told the hardest one to tell, I told. You know? And the answer is no. You're a cruel, you're an achzar. You told your wife only, and you won't tell anyone else. Why'd you pick your wife to tell? Because you know that she would rather die than her sister Shandel Bracha find out that her husband's a pervert since before he was even married, and she married a pervert. She'd rather die than her sister find out. She'd rather die three times than her mother finds out that she married a pervert. So Mamela, and the community to find out, she mamish would probably kill herself. Of course you told your wife, because she's the only safe person for you to tell. You picked the softest target, and you attacked it. That's why you told only your wife. Okay, so no, don't tell your wife if you're getting into recovery. Seriously, into real recovery. Not guard your eyes, super chicken chuba 770, you know, or something like that. That's real recovery. It's not real recovery, okay? Get a therapist. Get into 12 steps. Find a CSAT, you know, a sexual, addictions therapist or something. Find somebody who can help you. Whether you're an addict or not, they'll help you figure out. Just because they're an expert in addictions doesn't mean, God forbid, that they're going to try to convince everybody who does these things that, you must be an addict, like it says in Guard Your Eyes Handbook, or implies in Guard Your Eyes Handbook in a number of places, and like many posts talk about, and like many videos on Guard Your Eyes talk about, how Rabbi Twersky, in 3 seconds, a person can become addicted, it's a terrible addiction, filling the Jewish community and this and that. Hello? Most people on Guard Your Eyes are not addicts. Last time I checked, there was a big Yetzer Hara for this stuff, and people enjoy it, and that's why it's hard to control. Not everybody who's fat is a food addict. Hello? Please. You're not necessarily an addict, but you need some kind of help because you screwed up. Get the help. And then figure out how to tell your spouse all about it. But that's irrelevant right now. First, get the help. If you're not going to get any help, yeah, I think it's unfair to live your life without telling your spouse. If you know you're not going to get any help, I think it's unfair. I think that you should tell. Anyhow, but picking the wife only because she's the softest target and you know that she's not going to tell anybody, that's the only reason why people tell their wives when they don't tell anyone else. If they tell their Rebbe and they tell him and they tell them with all the details and they tell their wife, then I don't think that's cruel at all. I think that's very honest. I don't know if it's appropriate in every case, but at least it's honest. Except the one who only tells his wife and refuses to tell anybody else really all the details, that person is just cruel. Cruel. So getting back to the point, and I'm going to finish up now because it's already 9:05. We started almost an hour ago. So getting back to the point, so what damage is it causing to act out in my marriage? What damage is it causing the marriage? The lying and the hiding is causing damage. The fact that I'm doing things that there's no way I could ever tell my wife this stuff is tremendously damaging to my relationship. Because it's a thing that I can't tell her. That's damaging to the relationship. That's isolating. If you want to, people say, but if I tell her these things that I'm ashamed of, it'll only ruin the relationship. Don't you understand? Isn't it obvious? And the answer is no, it's not. The fact that you have secrets that she doesn't know of, that's why they're secrets, is putting a wall between the two of you. She may not see the wall, but you do. She feels the wall. She doesn't know that it's a wall, but she feels it. You're isolating. It's damaging the relationship. And again, I'm not saying to tell her. I explained already 3 different ways what the issues are with telling her. Get help first, then discuss telling her, then figure out about that stuff. Okay? Now, about telling, the spouse. This isn't what this call is about, but I want to issue a disclaimer. If you're having sex with prostitutes, especially unprotected, then you should tell your spouse now. You should get off this phone and tell your spouse right now, because she needs to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases. She might have gonorrhea. She might have syphilis. She might have herpes, which can lead to cervical cancer. Cervical cancer is a sexually transmitted disease, period. 99.9999% of the time, cervical cancer is a result of HPV, of a virus, of a herpes virus. It's pretty much the only cause of cervical cancer. A frum lady gets cervical cancer, either she's been messing around or you've been messing around. It's one or the other. It's either her or either she got it from somebody else, or you gave it to her. So you're going to get caught anyway, God forbid. So save your wife's life. Hashem doesn't love your struggle and your struggle. Hashem loves the struggle. Shevi yipol tzadik v'kom. Oi, oi, oi. Guess what? That's not true. Go tell that to the wife after she's, God forbid, ill and dying from some disease, or that she's got syphilis and it's chewing her brain up 30 years later. Tell that to the wife. Oh, but Hashem loved my struggle. Yeah, Hashem loved my struggle while you were, you know, doing it to me. Great. Great love right there. He's proud of your struggle. Right, sure. Sure. Anyhow, but the damage that is causing the relationship is in a number of different ways so far, I've delineated, I think. And the dishonesty is the makah b'patash. It's how it starts, and it's how it ends, really. That dishonesty is, that's the mark of a potash. That's the mark of a potash. Because the dishonesty really is what shapes the relationship. Oh, yeah, I can't tell, Sprinza, I can't tell Sarala, Farshteitzach, not, I can't tell her, Farshteitzach, enough with the Farshteitzach. Vos verstehen, you don't understand anything. You know? It's not, you're a liar. I'm a liar. You know? I'm a liar. I'm a fake. That's the problem. If the problem would be in something else, then it would be in something else too. Okay, same thing. Happens to be in this. You know? Anyhow. So those are a couple of the ways. There are more ways probably that I just can't think of right now, because the last time I checked, I was a human being. And my wife reminds me of that every day. But anyhow, it's time. It's time to do something, to get up and do something about our problem, if we've got a problem. And talking about it isn't going to help. I mean, talking about it is going to help with the right people. But talking about it in secret and reading about it and stuff is not going to help us. You talk about relationships and open relationships and being real, it starts right here, right now. You know? Find someone you can open up with. Don't abuse your wife by letting her be the one that you're opening up with. Oh, it's the hardest one, so it shows the greatest amount of fortitude. No, it means that you're an achzariistic jerk. That's all it means, because you know she'll be the safest keeper of your secret, and that's why you're telling her, no. Pick someone who can really help you, okay? Pick someone who can really help you. Get recovery therapy, something real, you know? And things will get better. Anyhow, I'm going to stop the recording section. Does anybody have anything during the recording section that you want to say to clarify something or disagree or agree or anything you want? You're being recorded, but it's okay with me. Maybe a question so that we can sharpen the topic a little bit. I unmuted everybody. No? Okay. Let me hit the...